God's grace and peace are yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today recorded in Isaiah chapter 55, previously read. In the name of our Father, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, dear fellow redeemed. Tell me, have you noticed that even though it's the end of July, our lawns are still green and growing? Some years after I get back from vacation, my lawn looks exactly the same as when I left it, only maybe a little browner. This year, when I got back Friday, first thing I had to do was get out the lawnmower. Why is that? I think you know. This year, our good God has showered our landscape with plenty of rain. And that rain has had an impact. It's caused our lawns to be green, our tomatoes to keep growing, our sweet corn to be juicy, and all the duck marshes filled to the brim. That's what happens when God sends abundant rain. In our text for today, the Lord draws a parallel between the rain he sends from heaven and the word that he speaks. And the point he is making is that in each of these cases, both the rain and the word always has some kind of impact. There's a result. It produces something. There's an outcome. And really, that's what we want to focus on today. Namely, that when God sends his word, it impacts human hearts and lives. Or to put it more simply, the word works. Or more specifically, the word works to accomplish what God desires. Here through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, God draws an illustration from the world of nature. He says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater." In other words, from the time the precipitation comes down to the earth to the time that it evaporates again, it produces results. It causes seeds to sprout and plants to grow and bear seeds that are then turned into flour that becomes things like bread and pastries and my mom's muffins that I got to enjoy this week. All good things that come in part because God has sent rain from heaven. Now God takes that illustration and he applies it spiritually. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In other words, when God speaks his word, in other words, when the scriptures are taught, when they are read, when they are learned, they don't come back empty-handed. They don't fail to make an impact. They don't fail to do what God sent them to do. The trick is to determine, what did God send the scriptures to do? For example, if I told you that God sent his word to cure the common cold, just put a Bible on your chest before you go to bed. If I told you, scripture was sent, it works. It works. It works to take that stain out of your pants. Just rub a little scripture in it. You would rightfully say, no, that's not how the word works. Why not? Because that's not what God desires the word to do. So what does God desire the word to do? What does he want it to accomplish? Well, he tells us in his word. What's his desire? God, our Savior, wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. there's God's number one purpose for His Word. And by His Word, I mean both His written Word and His Word in the flesh, Jesus, right? God sent both of them for the purpose of leading people to know the truth and thus save them eternally. And God has given His Word the power to accomplish that task. St. Paul puts it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it has the power. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The Word has the ability to create and sustain saving faith. Or you think of Paul's words to Timothy, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Or maybe best of all, how John describes his gospel. These words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. God's Word has the power to accomplish God's desire, namely, saving faith in Jesus. If you can say that Jesus is your Savior from sin, then you know that the Word has worked. It has accomplished what God desires, and you can praise God for it. And yet maybe there's a little voice inside your head saying, yeah, wait a minute, but does it always work? Aren't there times when the Word doesn't work? When people don't believe the Word? How can you say that God's Word always accomplishes what God desires? How can you say it never comes back empty-handed if there are people who don't believe it? Anybody want to answer that? Come on up. Let me try. I'll try to answer that by using two words that you don't often hear. Lutheran confessions teach that the Holy Scriptures are always efficacious, but not always effective. What does that mean? It means Scripture always has the power to turn an unbelieving heart into a believing heart. It's always efficacious. But that doesn't mean it always happens. The Word is not some irresistible force. It's not some magic formula that coerces people to believe in Jesus. Sometimes out of the perversity of their own hearts, human beings reject the gospel. You think of what Stephen said, for example, to the Jewish leaders. After he preached this beautiful sermon about God's plan of salvation for the Jews, and right before they responded to his message by stoning him to death, he tells them, you stiff-necked people, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. What do you think of Jesus' words to the inhabitants of Jerusalem who rejected him as their Savior? He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. In other words, when people hear the Word and they reject it, it's not the fault of the Word. It's not that the Word was defective, it's that their hearts were defective. Their hearts were hard, just like that path on which the seed was sown. In the end, the problem is not the seed, the problem is the soil. But again, maybe that has you wonder, well then, how can God say His Word always works? It never comes back empty-handed. It achieves what God desires. Well, again, let me share a couple more words you don't often hear. We need to distinguish between God's antecedent will and his consequent will. What does that mean? His antecedent will is what God desires for all. Up and first and foremost, we heard it before. God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But God's not going to force his will on anyone. Sometimes people reject what God wants, and that's when his consequent will kicks in. You see the word consequence in there? This isn't what God desired originally. It's what he does as a consequence of people's attitudes and actions. It's what he does as a consequence of what they've done. Or to put it another way, if a person lives his whole life saying, God, I don't want you. I don't believe in you. I don't trust you. I want nothing to do with you. Finally, in the end, God, in his consequent will, says, okay, then I'll give you what you want. Life forever without me. Hell. But even when that's the sad consequence of people rejecting the gospel, it doesn't mean that the word was wasted. It doesn't mean it came back empty-handed. Instead, it simply affirms that God is just and right in giving people what they ultimately wanted. Now, I got to tell you, that's not really the point. My point is that when it looks like the word doesn't work, it's still working. It's still carrying out God's will. Let's not forget Mark 16:16, and really both halves of that. The first half of that says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Right? That's God's antecedent will. That's what he wants. But when people reject the gospel, then his consequent will kicks in. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Both of God's will be accomplished. And yet really the point of this passage isn't about the bad things that happen when people reject the word. It's really about the good things that God works in human hearts through his word. And really, you are all proof of that. You know the comfort of hearing Jesus say, take heart, your sins are forgiven. You know the peace that comes from knowing that your times are in God's hands. You know that there is nothing that can separate you from God's love in Christ. Not disease, not death, not persecution. Recently, somebody came out of church and said, Pastor, man, I've never felt so much at peace as I do when I hear the word. What is that except God fulfilling his promise that the word works? The promises of God that assure us where we stand with God, that tell us that he's prepared a place in heaven for us, that he has a purpose for our lives and gives us power for living. You realize how important those gospel promises are, no matter what stage of life we happen to be in, including even the end of our lives. You know, as we reach that stage where our body parts aren't working so well, or our mind is starting to get more and more fuzzy, it's critical to realize that our soul can be as healthy as ever. Isn't that why we have a visitation ministry here at Mount Olive? Why we call a shut-in pastor like Pastor Bodie, who served us for 11 years, and Pastor Stensberg before that, and now Pastor Gorski. As we think about the needs of our loved ones who can't be here with us, we think about the importance of feeding their faith. And you realize that that's critical. And really that's what our gospel messengers bring to them, is food for their soul. When Pastor Bodhi comes out to a shut-in, he doesn't say, "I've got this brand new vitamin regimen that I want you to try. I've got some exercises for you to do, some brain teasers." No, he says, "I've got food for your soul. I've got something precious, a treasure. I've got the Holy Word and Sacrament. I've got the medicine that will keep you alive forever." My friends, I hope that you feel a debt of gratitude to the men who bring the gospel to those who are homebound. I hope that you will pray for our new visitation pastor, Pastor Gorski. But most importantly, I pray that you will be thankful for what the Word has done in your heart and your life. As God sends the rain, He also sends His Word. Drink it in as often as you can. Soak it up. For then you can be sure that it won't come back empty-handed, but it will produce what God desires in your life for your good and His glory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join to sing.